Welcome back. This is an Independence Day special on the Supreme Court's FCC versus Pacifica ruling, also known as the Carlin case, a judgment that was handed down July 3, 1978. I'm Kim King.
And I'm Tony Diaz. In 1997, on the KPFA program Living Room, Larry Bensky interviewed satirist George Carlin about the FCC versus Pacifica case, free expression, and media.
And I remember the only other time I ever met you was back in the mid-70s when this came up. Mm-hmm. What happened was that WBAI, the Pacifica station in New York, played a cut from one of your albums, The Seven Words They Won't Let Me Say on TV. Is that the exact?
Actually, it was the sequel to that. That was on Class Clown.
Right.
They played the sequel to it called Filthy Words from Occupation Fool.
Right. From Occupation
Fool. So it was the sequel, technically.
And it is The Seven Words, which we will find posted around this and every other radio station in the network that you can't say.
Right.
Pacifica played that. Somebody objected. To make a long story short, it became a major federal case, went to the Supreme Court, and we lost by the determining vote of five to four.
Yeah. Right? Close one. Squeaker.
Probably lose 9-0 now, considering the court is turned.
Yes, indeed it would be. This or 12-0.
However many people they put on the court.
Well, three. You know, I'm sure there are three they don't tell us about.
So George Carlin is responsible for the fact that he's not responsible for it. He tried to test the envelope, as he has obviously throughout his life, and the envelope didn't want to test.
It didn't fit in there.
It didn't stretch. It didn't bend. It didn't break. And we were told in no uncertain terms that if we ever broadcast those words again, except inadvertently, occasionally, and apologize profusely for doing so, we might lose our license and ability to broadcast. What does it say that 20 years later we're still having this conversation about this? Shouldn't we have evolved past that by now?
Sure. Well, we should have evolved much more quickly in a lot of respects. there are two things that I blame for the abysmal condition of this magnificent species that had such potential at one time, and that is religion and commerce. And those are the two things that hinder us here. I mean, the religious people say this is immoral, it is corrupting, and it will do bad things to your character if you even hear these words as a child or a grown-up or whatever. And commerce says if you say these things, the customers and the advertisers are going to run from you. So because of these two guiding principles which have ruined this species, we now, this is just another example of it, the sexual language or scatological language.
But, of course, you're living proof that that's not true. On the second level, anyway, we could argue religion.
Yes, right. I have been successful in spite of it or because of it.
Commercially.
Yes.
But you've still not been able to become successful religiously.
No.
Or would you say you are?
No. Not even spiritually. It's another word I don't care for. It's an badly overused word, especially by those people who flee from religion. They're looking for something to call themselves. And I just think of it as being in the universe and being okay, you know.
But you clearly run up against these obstacles in having an even further exposure.
Sure.
In other words, there's much more that we could read from this book, for example, right now, which has page after page of outrageously funny, I must say, dialogue and monologue and analysis. But most of it we can't read on the radio.
Yeah. I am one of those odd cases where the mainstream grudgingly accepts me because I'm somehow non-threatening. There's an aspect to what I do that is not pleasant for some of them, and it's also not pleasant for others who just want to be okay. You know, they'll say, "Boy, I love that personally, but I can't play it. I can't talk like that." You know what I mean? So there are those people. But because I have more than one aspect to what I do, because I'm also like a friendly cousin, like a goofy uncle, because I say a lot of things about how your dogs and cats act, how you drive, what's in your refrigerator, how you scratch yourself, because I have some other channels into their psyches, I'm okay, and they take this extra baggage, this so-called immoral or unpleasant or indecent baggage that I carry. They accept me because I don't really threaten them the way, for instance, Lenny Bruce was a real stone threat to them, and the times were somewhat different, of course, as well.
You are listening to the voice of George Carlin, interviewed in 1997 by Larry Bensky on Pacifica Radio's KPFA in Berkeley, California. This is an Independence Day special on the FCC versus Pacifica ruling.
Are we going to need more people like that who get right in their faces before this changes? I mean, the envelope has already been pushed on the level of language by various hip-hop and rap artists who use anything that comes through their brains, and there's quite a few things. Some of it gets played on college radio stations. They don't seem to get into trouble. Mm. They don't have as much at stake, maybe, as Pacifica Radio would.
They don't
speak
as clearly as I do.
You understand what they're saying. Does it ever come to you where somebody says, look, George, I had a deal for you. You know, if you just clean it up a little bit, I think we can put you on this Blah Blah Show.
No, I've gotten on Blah Blah Show anyway because I understand that when I want to promote what I do, and any artist tries to broaden his audience. I mean, the idea is, hey, folks, listen to me or watch me. Look what I do. So the impulse is to get a broad audience. And therefore, I've always gone on places like Johnny Carson or Merv Griffin or whatever. Well, that's kind of an older reference. But
very much so.
I've been on a lot of shows where I couldn't say these words or even references. You know, I couldn't even talk about race, let's face it. But the idea was, when I went to those places, I wasn't there to change their rules and their system. I was there to accommodate myself narrowly in their format so that I could talk about what I do and try to get someone to pay more attention to me. So life is a series of adjustments and accommodations. I once had a hippie friend in the full flower of hippiedom. We were sitting around doing several drugs, probably, and listening to probably more than one record at the same time. And this guy was complaining to me about something I had done in recent months that he considered selling out. Why'd you do that? You sold out, man. You sold out. So I said, wait a minute, now hold on. I said, that's a telephone over there, isn't it? In your house here, that's a phone. He said, yeah. I said, well, you've sold out. You're in bed with a monopoly. You know, things happen on a scale, on a curve. It's not either or. The alternative to not participating at all, to participating in this society and being one of them, quote unquote, is to live in the woods and eat bark. We don't choose, most of us, to do that. We find some smaller accommodation with the system that we can make. So my accommodation is to go where I need to go to talk about what I want to, so that I can sing my song, so I can be my own myself.
What do you see your song developing at? It's clear in reading Brain Droppings that you are sensitive, as one does get sensitive to passing the age of 60. Mm-hmm. You get sensitive passing the age of 20 or 32, but 60 is pretty much of a biggie.
Yes.
Do you see yourself developing more insights into geriatric science, or what's coming up?
Well, I like this. I like the writing. I mean, I really fell in love with I've always been great at editing and revising. I love revision. And I just found that the challenge of knowing that it would be on the printed page where someone could go back and read it over four times in a row if they wanted to be critical, and that someone could see it a year later and reread it, put me really on my toes. And I really love manipulating the sentences and putting those paragraphs
together. That's obvious.
I'm going to do more books. I'm also going to evolve in just a few years from pure stand-up, the way I've always done it, to a form of Broadway show that's closer to Lily Tomlin, with some staging, with perhaps a thread to it, I would hope, and some characters. I've really ignored and neglected the characters inside my head.
You're listening to the voice of George Carlin, interviewed in 1997 by Larry Bensky on Pacifica Radio KPFA in Berkeley, California. This is an Independence Day special on the Supreme Court's FCC versus Pacifica ruling.
That's getting back again to another theme that you have a lot in Brain Droppings, George Carlin, which is violence,
yes,
death,
yes,
people's aggressions against each
other, bloodshed.
Where's all that coming from?
Well, you know, if I had to say to you what is the answer, I would say massive bloodshed. I really would. I don't really honestly deep down believe in political action. I think the system contracts and expands as it wants to. It accommodates these changes. I think the civil rights movement was an accommodation on the part of those who own the country. I think they see where their self-interest lies. They see a certain amount of freedom seems good, an illusion of liberty. Give these people a voting day every year so that they'll have the illusion of meaningless choice. Meaningless choice that we go like slaves and say, "Yo, I voted." The limits of debate in this country are are established before the debate even begins, and everyone else is marginalized. They're made to seem either to be communists or some sort of disloyal person. A kook, there's a word, and now it's conspiracy. See, they've made that something that should not be even entertained for a minute, that powerful people might get together and have a plan. Doesn't happen. You're a kook. You're a conspiracy buff. So, the only way you cure that, death, bloodshed. I don't advocate it, but I see that it's really the only answer.
And, of course, in your book, you have a Swiftian proposal somewhere for everyone being allowed to have a license, what is it, to murder somebody else?
Once a month. Yes, and special days.
And how exactly would that work?
Well, I wish I still had it memorized as well as I did when I was doing it on stage for a short period of time. The idea is that once a month we would have a day when it was perfectly legal to kill someone else without punishment. But it's not random, and you can't save up your days. You can't, go into McDonald's after a year and say, well, I got 12 coming, I'll just take out some people. You have to use it or lose it, as is said. And you might have special days. There might be a day for spouses, a day for ex-spouses, certainly a day for relatives, both, I think one day for blood relatives, another day for legal relatives, and Parents' Day. Why should the Menendez brothers have all the fun? Get in there into the living room with the shotgun, send your parents to the maker, that's where they really say they want to be.
Could you do what they're suggesting that you do with pollution rights? Could you trade your killing rights to somebody else? So, for example, if you'd saved up two for 60 days, you'd say, here, I'll give you one, and you give me something in return?
No, I don't like that because it's messy. I like the clean, simple, I get one a month, and if it's a special day, if it's delivery men or cable guys or something, we do him. Otherwise, there should be a wild card day, so you get to do anybody you want. A neighbor day. Kill a neighbor day. And for this, and just to make it easier on everyone, a neighbor will be considered anyone who lives in your zip code.
If only we were human, would things be different, George Carlin? You have a section here. If only we were human, would we not have to deal with things on that level?
I'm reading, folks. Here it comes from the book. This species is a dear, hateful, sweet, barbaric, tender, vile, intelligent, confused, virtuous, evil, thoughtful, perverted, generous, greedy species. In short, great entertainment. As I said before, humans are the only species that systematically torture and murder... My plurals here. As I said before, humans are the only species that systematically tortures and murders its own for pleasure and personal gain. In fact, we are the only species that systematically tortures and murders its own, period. We are serial killers. All our poems and symphonies and oils on canvas will never change that. Man's noble aspect is the aberration. Those who argue that art and philosophy are proof of human worth neglect to mention that in the scheme we have devised, artists and philosophers are completely powerless and largely without prestige. Art, music, and philosophy are merely poignant examples of what we might have been had not the priests and traitors gotten hold of us. Most animals, when fighting one of their own, will show aggressive behavior but very little hostility or intention to harm. And when the outcome of the struggle is inevitable, the losing animal will signal its defeat by exposing its most vulnerable part to the victor, affording it the opportunity to finish the kill. The victor then walks away without inflicting further harm. These are the creatures we feel superior to.
You're listening to the voice of George Carlin, interviewed in 1997 by Larry Binsky on Pacifica Radio's KPFA in Berkeley, California. Thank you for listening to this Independence Day special on the FCC versus Pacifica ruling, also known as the Carlin case, a judgment that was handed down July 3, 1978. I'm Kim King, and I've been your co-host for this program.
Sharing hosting duties, I'm Tony Diaz. Most audio you heard this program comes from the Pacifica Radio Archives. You also heard pieces from the Freedom Archives, the Oyez Project, the CDs Freedom is a Constant Struggle, Songs of the Mississippi Civil Rights Movement, Movement Soul, live recordings of songs and sayings from the Freedom Movement in the Deep South, 1963 to 1964, y Si Para Usted, the Funky Beats of Revolutionary Cuba, Volume 1, as well as music from Bob Dylan, Marvin Gaye, and Le Tigre. Antibalas provided our opening song.
You can purchase Pacifica Radio Archives audio by contacting the archives at pacificaradioarchives.org. Freedom Archives materials are available via freedomarchives.org. And the OIAS Project Collection of Supreme Court Hearings is available at oiez.net.
This program was produced at Pacifica radio station KPFT in Houston, Texas. Our executive producers are Luke Jones and Ann Raybar. Technical producer is Ernesto Aguilar. Special thanks to Alicia Grifaldo, Steve Jolly, and Julia Nazar for the production, editorial, and programming efforts in making this broadcast possible.
This station depends on people like you for financial support. Please consider donating to Community Radio so that educational programs like this continue to be available in your area.
Thank you again, and stay tuned for more great programming on this station.